At least that ain't the police. Look over there, huh? J.J. I'm an addict. I don't know, I'm a little bit sick to my stomach right now, to be honest. This is new for me. I never really spoke at a retreat or at a convention before. I did some topic meetings and a couple anniversaries and stuff, but I just told my story. I get nervous, you know what I mean? But I learned, like, I don't know, through recovery and working the steps, that, like, the end result is enough to me, you know what I mean? What comes out of my mouth isn't the thing that really matters, you know. If you guys hear anything, that's a benefit that might help you, you know what I mean? But I'm not in control of any of that stuff. I really learned that it's like how I practice these principles and how I, like, go through these feelings when I go through these circumstances is the thing that counts. I try not to view my feelings in life as, like, positive and negative experiences, you know what I mean? Because as I look back at my recovery, a lot of things that I used to would perceive as negative experiences or feelings have, like, really helped me grow, you know what I mean? I may not have liked it at the time, but I always learn in hindsight in this program when I'm able to look back and do some step work on it or inventory something. And that really helps my third step, you know what I mean? Giving up control, like, I'm a drug addict, I want to control stuff, you know what I mean? I still suffer from that self-centered fear, you know? Fear is still a huge part of my life, man. You know, I'm human. My self-obsession blows that fear out of proportion, man. I'm still scared that, like, I'm not going to say something right, and you guys are going to judge me, and all this shit was going through my mind on the way up here, you know what I mean? And I work myself up into a frenzy. You know, it's like, you know, I have another example, like my job, you know what I mean? Like, everything in recovery was new to me, man. Like, my job, I'm married now, and, like, people get kind of shady when you talk about, like, material things or stuff, but it's, like, life things that I have to practice these principles in all my affairs, man. And it's, like, it's not the job and the money and the prestige thing. It's, like, the accountability and the responsibility of going there every single day, the commitment I have to my job, you know what I mean? These are all things that, like, I live my life through this program, and I have no, I don't have any other way to live. Same with my marriage, man. I practice these principles in my marriage, like sacrifice, you know what I mean, and commitment and understanding and humility and love and tolerance and patience, man. It's not that I have, like, the girl on my arm that I depend on to validate myself anymore. It's okay to have that kind of stuff, and like I'm saying that because that's the situation I'm in now up here. Like, it isn't sounding good for me up here. It isn't even maybe you guys are getting any help, but I'm, like, scared, man, and nervous, you know what I mean? I'm trying to, like, walk through this fear and walk through these feelings, you know what I mean, and practice, like, the third step, man, and just turn it over to the God of my understanding. Courage to change is the topic, I guess. I can't really take much credit for the courage part, man. Like, I kind of just, you know, got here hurting, man, literally, physically and mentally and spiritually. I kind of feel uncomfortable even talking about, like, I did some courageous thing by getting here, you know. What I did to get here was hurt everybody and myself and self-destruct, you know what I mean? And I've come to understand that, like, courage and willingness and desire are, like, gifts from the God of my understanding. I've seen people with decades clean lose that and get high. And that scares me, you know what I mean? Sometimes in recovery, like, my 45-year-old brother-in-law is living at my house now because he got beat up and kicked out of a three-quarter house. Been in and out of treatment centers for the past 3 years. Lost his job, lost his family, got three teenage kids, lost all them, ain't allowed home. Like, sometimes in recovery, we think, like, the tough love thing, like, works, you know what I mean? Like, therapists talk about it as if, like, it's circumstances, like, if it says in our reading, we reached a point of desperation, you know what I mean? And we are ready for surrender. But, like, I've come to understand, like, the biggest God step that we have is the first step, man. You know what I mean? That clarity that I felt that day on July 12th of 07, like, I didn't do that, man. You know what I mean? That wasn't me. I have to try to hold on to this courage and this willingness as much as possible. And I came to that understanding by, like, my childhood best friend hung himself last year after smoking crack for 3 days. I stood in my driveway and talked to a guy I sponsored for over a year. He went home and hung himself that night. 3 weeks apart. So, like, if that were true, that we could, like, reach a point of desperation, that there's no other way to go but surrender, they would be here. You know what I mean? They would be here. Like, I really look at this desire I have and courage to practice these principles as a true gift that I can only get from the God of my understanding. And it can be lost if I let it. I guess I could tell a little bit of my story. I don't know. I was in institutions and stuff before I even picked up a drug. Like, the disease was real prevalent in my life. My dad died from this disease when he was 56. My mom was in, like, lived in abusive houses, and I was around alcoholics and drugs. I used with my mom. So, like, 16, I was pretty much on my way, man. You know what I mean? I probably could have been here then. But, like, what I'm getting at is, it says in our literature that some of us didn't know how to live life at all. And some of us went through the motions of life, but never let anything touch us emotionally. You know, so which means our disease affects us in different areas of our lives. Some people had, like, jobs, families, businesses, raised kids, and then got addicted. You know what I mean? But for me, like, when I was 16 years old, I didn't have any life experiences but finding ways and means to get more. You know what I mean? I didn't graduate high school. Addiction stripped me from my natural maturation process as a human being. Like, I didn't get to experience all that stuff that, like, normal kids get to experience when they grow up. So, like, right off the bat, you know, they say you're, like, emotionally and spiritually where you're at when you come here. And, like, so right off the bat, I was, like, stunning. Because recovery for me is about coping with life, you know, coping with my feelings, dealing with my addiction, dealing with my disease without the use of drugs, man. That's what recovery is for me. So I was already dependent on drugs at like 16, and it stripped me all my life experiences. I didn't graduate high school. I got kicked out of high school because I went drunk, and you know what I mean? So I never got to go to college. I never had a car. I didn't have a driver's license until I was 27 years old when I got clean. I never had a checking account. I never had none of that shit, man. So, like, when I got clean at 27, I was living in my mom's house, and I shared it in a little twin bed with a lamp and a basic text, man. Like, that's where I started life at and shit. You know what I mean? And I came there from, I had two strokes from shooting cocaine and smoking crack. And I ended up in a hospital in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And I was scared this time, man. I was scared. Because I was in when I was 21, in and out till I was 27, and six rehabs before this one. And I was scared, man. I started finally realizing, like, man, they're right. You know what I mean? Because all that terminally unique crap of it ain't going to happen to me was right in my face, man. I was laying in that hospital bed, hooked up to IVs of iron because I was missing over half the blood in my body. That's why I had the strokes in the first place. I had Crohn's disease. And I was bleeding real bad, man, and smoking crack and not eating, so my body just quit making blood. But anyways, for once in my life, I couldn't run, man. I couldn't run. I was by myself in this hospital bed. Because in rehab and jail, man, I could hang out with idiots and I could chase girls in rehab, you know what I mean? Like, when I was in that hospital bed, for once in my life, I couldn't run, and these nurses were, like, young. And I was in the ICU unit, man. I was in bad shape. I was looking in these rooms, and there's, like, old people hooked up to ventilators and stuff. And these nurses were like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "What the hell is wrong with me?" You know what I mean? Like, and I started to understand, like, wow, man, I'm sick. Like, I'm sick. And I remember, and now that moment of clarity happened for me right in that hospital bed. And the first three steps was just like, bang, hit me like a ton of bricks, dude. I felt it. And I felt it in my heart. And I haven't really wanted to get high since that day. I've been clean for 5 years. I have some struggles here and there, you know what I mean? But, like, it talks about that in our literature, too. Some of us have spiritual experiences, you know what I mean? And some of us have a subtle awakening of the spirit. You know, mine was like, boom. And that's where, my belief system comes from, God granting us that, man. Because I tried to do that on my own for years before that and couldn't do it, man. So now I want to stay clean. And now I'm scared. Well, how am I going to do this? You know what I mean? What am I going to do? I don't even know what if I'm going to survive. They thought I had leukemia because my body quit making blood. Your bone marrow makes your blood. They thought I had leukemia. They were doing all these tests on me. Well, I ended up staying in the hospital for 14 days out there. And each day that went by, I got to, like, do my first three steps, like, mentally in my head, man. You know, I started thinking of, like, all the times that I used and couldn't stop, and all the times that I stopped and couldn't stay clean, and all the crap I tried to fill my spirit with all my whole life, you know what I mean? It didn't work. And you know, they say, our best thinking got us here, and that's literally what I felt like. I'm like, holy shit, my best thinking got me in this hospital bag, you know what I mean? So now I'm like, I don't know what recovery has entailed for me, but I know I don't want what I have anymore. You know what I mean? And it also says that in our literature. We gotta trade in the familiar pain of addiction for the unknown future of recovery, man. And I didn't know what to do. I called my counselor at whatever treatment center I was in out there. And she's like, well, let's try to get you into a halfway house after you get out of the hospital. Well, they wouldn't take me because I was too high of an insurance risk. You know what I mean? Because of the shape I was in. And I remember laying in that bed, and now I'm scared because my house was a thing. My house was a place for me. My mom was a people for me. Everything in that house was a thing for me. I still go out there today, and I go in the bathroom, and just the smell from being in that bathroom, that's where I used to shoot cocaine at, in that bathroom, and I could still smell it. So now I'm scared. You know, I'm self-fulfilling prophecies drug addicts do. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, if I go back here, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I won't be able to do it. And I've been in and out of the rooms, man, in one simple sentence, like, nailed me, dude, and it was the Just for Today reading. I said, you know, as long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. And I thought about that in that hospital bed, and I'm like, it isn't what I think. It ain't how I feel. It isn't what I think I need. Like, it dawned on me for the first time, it's how I live. It's what I do that's going to keep me clean. And I said, and I thought to myself, let's give it a run, man. Let's give it a run. And I went back to rehab after that. They took me back. I went back for two more weeks. I came home to my mom's house. And she, I don't know, man. She's not one of us, but she used. And I could never understand it. You know what I mean? Because she could go to bed and I couldn't. And, you know, I just never understood it. So, like, when after I got real bad, she kind of just stopped and tried to help focus her attention on trying to help me. You know what I mean? So it wasn't that bad of an atmosphere when I got home. She was willing to help me, you know what I mean, as much as she could. But now, I'm at home, no car, no money, empty inside, broke, scared. It took 9 months for me to build my blood back up. I had to go to the hospital for 2 days a week for like 6 months, dude. I could barely walk. I went to outpatient for 6 months, 9 to 3 every day, man. My teacher would let me lay a pillow on the ground and just lay in group and shit because I couldn't even sit in a chair that long, man. So, like, I don't know if I was too courageous. I just didn't want to die, man. I just didn't want to die. And I believed it that time. I believed it this time. You know what I mean? That I could be the next one. But now, I have zero coping skills, dude. None. You know what I mean? I didn't never learned anything through my teenagers but how to get high and steal and lie and cheat and use people and women. And now I can't do none of that stuff you're telling me. So, like, what am I supposed to do now? So I like, started to build a foundation in recovery, man. And I started getting on to some meetings, and I started talking to people. I also found, like, I remember I had about 9 months clean, and I worked the first three steps, and my sponsor relapsed. And I was like, oh my God, my recovery doesn't count, and all this crap, because he was getting high the whole time we were doing step work and stuff. And I was a mess, and I just finished my third step. I was going into my fourth step, so I was already out of my mind about that, you know what I mean? And he called me, man, and was like, I've been getting high, I can't sponsor you anymore. And I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, what? Like, what do I do now? You know what I mean? And thank God Ron and Tom were in my life, man. I called Ron as soon as I hung up the phone, man. I was like, dude, I need a temporary sponsor. Will you sponsor me, please? I told him what happened. He said, we'll start out. And he's been my sponsor ever since. But I was on the fourth step, and I'm like, well, we need to, like, build up to this fourth step. You know what I mean? I don't know you that well, so I'm just not going to just go right into the fourth step with you. You know what I mean? I was like, so maybe we should do 1, 2, and 3 again. You know what I mean? So he just made me bring it. We went over, and it was okay. And I was still sketchy. You know what I mean? I remember we were at the Friday Night Fellowship meeting in Greensburg, and I said, Ron, I still don't know about this fourth step. He goes, come here. And I said, what? He said, sit down at this table. I said, okay. He said, tell me the worst thing you ever did in your life. And I'm like, fuck. I'm looking at people everywhere. I look at Ron, I'm like, oh, man, what is, you know? And I told him, man. And it was something I did when I was young. And I was really ashamed about it. And, like, when you think about it, that's the biggest knot I got in my stomach. And that's the first thing that came to my mind, man. I was just like, look, look, look. And it came out, and that was it. You know what I mean? And I started writing on my fourth step, and we moved on from that. And that was really, like, a huge turning point in my recovery, because, man, when I got here, our literature says my self-esteem was non-existent. I have gut-wrenching insecurities, man, and I felt that. I felt that. I talked about it. I remember when I went and I studied for my permit, man, clean, about 9 months clean to a year clean. I'm studying for my permit. I remember sitting in a driver's license center, 27 years old, looking around, and I'm like, man, these people are going to think, what's wrong with this kid? You know what I mean? Like, that's that self-centered fear that I suffer from. You know, I wanted to hide and run and leave and just say, screw it, you know what I mean? But there's like kids that are 15 up there doing the same thing that I'm doing. You know what I mean? I'm like embarrassed as hell and ashamed, but I'm like, you know, I need to start learning how to make mature decisions today that will have a lasting effect in my life, man. You know what I mean? And that was like one of the first decisions that I really made and like walked through the feelings, man. Because that stuff was hard. I remember getting my first checking account, man. I was 27 years old. And like I always, you know, my disease tells me like I'm an outcast and I don't fit in, and people in business suits and that are better than me and they must have these great lives, you know what I mean? So I'm like sitting there and this chick's like in a business outfit and I'm like sick to my stomach, man, because I only was on my fourth step by then, you know what I mean? So I was still filled with all that stuff, man, that insecurity and the remorse and the guilt and the shame, man. And I thought these people could see how I felt on the inside, man. And I was like sick to my stomach, man. I'm like, well, what are they going to think? I'm opening up a checking account. I never had a job before. You know what I mean? What are they going to think? I'm a criminal. Like, all this shit's running through my head that my disease tells me. You know what I mean? And I'm just thinking to myself, all right, first thoughts are usually wrong. Just follow through. You know what I mean? Surrender your feelings. Turn it over to God. And, like, I walked through. And this is, like, basic stuff of life, dude. You know what I mean? That, like, I never knew how to do. As I progressed in my recovery, you know, I really did some pretty good step work, man. You know what I mean? I found that the quality of my recovery is the awareness I'm going to build through the steps, man. You know what I mean? And I pray for the courage and the thoroughness for God to reveal the things that I need to see, man, to help me live my life and grow as a human being. And 4 wasn't too bad for me, man. But I remember when I did 6, I was sick, dude. Sick to my stomach. Because after 4, you know, I accept responsibility. That's the principle behind 4. I accept responsibility for my part in life. I can't blame no one else anymore. So when I got to 6, did I just big list of shit? And it wasn't my disease's fault anymore. It wasn't my mom's fault. Wasn't society's fault. That was me on paper, man. You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn. And it was hard to stomach. And it took a lot of acceptance, man. I remember I had a rough 4 or 5 months just going through that step, man. Because, like, it's, you know, the thing about step 6 is, like, it's like when you buy a new car, you know what I mean? You see that car everywhere. But before that, you never seen that car. You know, that's how step 6 worked for me anyways. Like, I could see all this stuff in my life now, man. And I'm just like, damn. But what I learned from that is another thing I got to say is clean time doesn't equal recovery, but clean time does equal experience, life experience, living life without the use of drugs. That's how I build faith, man. You know what I mean? I take risks, I walk through the feelings, and then I get to the other side and I look back and I'm like, yeah. And that's how mine works. I was like getting into a swimming pool. I like dip my foot in a little bit and I'm like, ooh. And then I get it up to my waist and I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? And that's kind of how the process of my recovery has been. And each time I go in, I see that it ain't that bad. You know what I mean? Practicing these principles in my life without the use of drugs, it isn't that bad. Not only isn't that bad, but like, I found how to deal with fear is, like, step work's great. But just because I write it down doesn't mean that I'm dealing with it right at that point in time. It takes time for all that stuff to come out and the walls of denial to come down and for you to see in other areas of your life, man. But what I found with step six was, that was a real hard step for me. I was really upset, and like I that was the first time I really wanted to run and hide. And like it says on our list, we want to hide those defects of character, ignore them, act like they don't exist. And I start getting resentful towards God, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to see this shit anymore. But what I found is, like, if you take your pain and you take your guilt and you take your shame and you take all that stuff and you just put it right here, bang, you embrace it. Hold it, own it, cheers, wrestle with it a little bit, you know what I mean? Accept it, man. Once I did that, nothing could hurt me anymore. I wasn't scared anymore to make mistakes in recovery. Like, I wasn't scared anymore to start taking little risks in recovery. Because I think, well, the worst thing I've been through was the past 6 years I tried to get clean. And I wrote about that. I shared about it. I shared about it with people, helped other people, stopped doing most of this stuff, and applied these principles and a program of recovery to these, you know, problem areas for me, because we all have different defects of character that affect us differently, you know what I mean? Some of mine that I struggle with might not be the same ones that you struggle with, you know what I mean? So I have to apply this program to that. And once I did that, I felt like, that's when I really felt the relief and the freedom was after six, man. You know what I mean? I felt, well now what? You know what I mean? I wasn't that bad. As I stay in recovery and I keep moving forward, I found that the disease of addiction is progressive, but so is recovery. And the analogy I could use is like a conveyor belt. I feel like I'm on a conveyor belt sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm just moving forward. And like 2 to 3 times a year, shit will come to a head in my life. You know what I mean? Where either some defects of character will be there, or some old beliefs or values that I had coming from addiction will rear their ugly head, or a life circumstance will happen that comes out of the blue that I wasn't prepared for, that now I have a choice. You know what I mean? And I see people come to these points in their recovery, and they go backward. They run. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I even get angry that I have to practice these principles because I'm so damn aware of what's going on. Because practicing spiritual principles takes emotional effort, dude. You know what I mean? There are some times when I go through some things in my recovery where I'm like exhausted, man. You know what I mean? It says up there sometimes we need a time of rest after a period of growth, man. And like, I'm on that conveyor belt, and I'm moving forward, and it's like, I can't stop, you know what I mean? If I stop, I know what's going to happen. And I get to these points, like last year, my best friend hung himself. My other sponsee hung himself. A kid I sponsored for 2 years, 4 weeks after that, OD'd. And I'm sitting at a meeting, and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to deal with this shit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, why? Because in recovery, I found out you can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. You can't run. You can't pretend it didn't happen. There's only one way to go, and it's forward. And I was so pissed off, man, and I'm just like, I can't go through. I've been to 2 funerals already within a month and a half. I can't do it again, man. So I, like, resisted for a while. You know what I mean? Until about 2 months later, I was sitting at the table, man. My wife said something to me, and I just started bawling. I whipped my phone across the room and just was fucking crying, man. You know what I mean? And it all came out, and I embraced that shit, man. You know what I mean? I shared about it at meetings, and I cried with people. And that's the only way I know how to get through this stuff, man, is to deal with it as it comes. But the thing about my disease of addiction, man, is it tells me all these lies, man. You know what I mean? Like, dude, everyone's going to judge you or just pretend like it didn't happen and all this stuff, man. Like, denial, my sponsor teaches me that I am always in denial, at least in one or more areas of my life at a time. You know what I mean? That's just how it is in recovery. I don't know. It was tough. You know what I mean? Another thing that I found, me and my wife just had a baby. There was supposed to be another speaker. They told me I had to speak for an hour, so I don't know if she's here or not. So I said, I'll do my best, but we had a baby, and around 20, and we, like, I've never, thank God, I didn't, you know, have children through my act of addiction that were subjected to whatever. God graced me with that, man, and I was clean a couple of years, and me and my wife were married a couple of years, and we had a baby, or she got pregnant, and she wanted it so much, and, like, we were, like, bonding so much over this pregnancy, you know what I mean? I was feeling things I've never felt on a level that I've never felt them before, you know, and, like, we were just so happy, and we shared so many moments of joy, you know what I mean, and pain, you know what I mean? It wasn't the easiest pregnancy for her, but around, she always had this preconceived idea because all the women in her family had miscarriages. I remember we were sitting on a couch one night, we came in from a meeting, and she stood up and went like this, you know, just blood pouring down her arm. Dude, she was like, "Mah!" I just started crying, just took off through the house. Dude, instantly, I'm sick. You know what I mean? I'm sick, dude. So I'm like running after her, and I grab her. And I don't like feeling like that. I don't want that responsibility. I knew she's my wife. She's dying right now, internally, emotionally, and spiritually. I got to step up. You know what I mean? But I wanted to run myself. You know what I mean? I don't want to deal with this shit. What if this really happens? What am I going to do? This is going to change my life forever. You know what I mean? So I get in the car. We drive to the hospital, man, on the way there. I'm like, "God, man, I can't believe that addict thinking came back. You know what I mean? I cannot believe you're letting this shit happen, man." You know what I mean? I know people who shouldn't even have kids. And you're going to take my first one away. Thank God I built a foundation in recovery, because by the time we got to Westmoreland Hospital, it dawned on me that no matter what the outcome was, I was going to need God to get through it. I can't be resentful towards him. He's going to be my strength to get through the situation. And I remember me and my wife in there crying. She's like, "I love this baby so much. I don't want her to die. I don't want her to die. I love her so much, man." And dude, I was so scared, and my family was sitting outside. They weren't even allowed in. So I was like the relayer of information, you know what I mean? And like, I didn't want that responsibility, man. I was so scared that they were going to say she didn't make it, and I was going to have to walk out there and tell everybody that, man. I wanted to run. And I was angry, and I didn't want the responsibility. But I remember my wife's in recovery too. She has a couple months underneath me. My father-in-law has 20 years in the other fellowship. My sister-in-law has 13 years in the other fellowship. My brother-in-law about 10 years in this fellowship. So like we live this shit, man. Everywhere we go. So like, you know, we had a little group conscience. You know what I mean? In the hospital room, you know, she's crying. We're all there holding hands and shit. Like you're having a group conscience, and it was truly like, "All right, thy will be done, man." You know what I mean? We had to completely turn it over. And then me and her got to sit back and say, "Okay, and this is how powerful recovery is, man." We said, if we lose this baby, we need to look back and see all the experiences that brought us closer together as a couple. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to suck, and it's going to change our lives forever. But we trust the program in Narcotics Anonymous, and we trust God, and I trust the steps, so let's practice them. Dude, and it was so hard. It was just hard, man. I was sick. I was so scared. But I walked through that stuff, man. You know what I mean? And I was there for my wife like I'm supposed to be. That commitment that I talked about earlier, that sacrifice. You know, I'm still self-centered, man. I don't want those feelings, you know what I mean? Like, as sick as it sounds, I wanted to just be like, and just run away, you know what I mean? That's how I dealt with everything my whole life, man. So we made it through that. And then the baby was born, and then they thought she had Down syndrome. Dude, my wife was berserk. It was a Friday afternoon, this doctor says, "Oh, I think she may have Down syndrome. But you can't get a test till Monday, see ya." So I'm like sick, my wife's in tears, dude, tears. We're leaving the place, I'm sick to my stomach. I'm like, here we go again. here we go again. What am I going to do? I can't deal with this shit, man. I mean, I'm talking about emotions that I have never felt. Because that's a baby. That's, first of all, that's stuff you're never going to feel if you haven't felt that before. So, to have it, something that powerful that you love that much dangling in front of you with severe consequences, dude, I practice faith and surrender and trust on a level that I don't know if I'll practice again in this program. Like, literally, man. We all were at my house all weekend, man. I was trying to just console my wife, and I just kept saying, babe, because it says in our literature, too, we have to learn how to use our personal experience for future practice. You know what I mean? Because we forget about that stuff, man. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, remember in the hospital how we felt before, how sick it was. You know what I mean? How we wanted to just run and get angry and resentful and mad and act out, but we didn't. And yes, the results did turn out in our favor, but if they wouldn't have, I would hope that we would have done the same thing. But we made it through it. We're still together. Now we have the baby. Remember those prayers we asked for? All I want is this baby. All I want is this baby. Just please let her live, God. Well, he let her live. He let her live. We can't pick if she has Down syndrome or not. We're going to be this baby's parents and love her just as much, man. But it's still hard. I want her to go to a prom. I want her to have boyfriends. I don't want her to get looked at out in public. You know what I mean? That's my child. So it was like all this shit's like going through me, dude. Like I'm projecting and I'm feeling all these emotions. And at the same time, I'm trying to practice these principles and trust God and console my wife. And it's like, we made it through it. Again. And we had chromosome tests, came back negative. And so now, 3 weeks later, well, we think she got spina bifida. I said, Jesus! I said, I ain't even acting up this time. I mean, are you for real? Like, that's how the sixth step works for me, man. You know what I mean? It's a very practical step. Like, it's nothing really magical. It's just, we live these same situations over and over and over again till we learn it didn't work the first two times I was out of my mind, and then I surrendered a little bit the second and third time, so maybe the fourth time I'll be alright. That's how it's worked in my recovery. Another thing that I get the courage to change from is the truth, man. You know, step two, sanity for me is the ability to see the truth. Once I see that truth, I have to surrender to that. I can't live in conflict with that shit, man. You know what I mean? I did a bunch of stuff in the fourth step, and it talks about it works on why, how we lived in conflict with our belief systems and morals and values. You know what I mean? A lot of that stuff is like, and that's like, there's things that I don't want to do, but my conscience, you know, I can't ignore it. My conscience won't let me ignore it. You know what I mean? I used tobacco for probably 2.5 years clean, and then God revealed to me the truth. Like, dude, like, and then people get all mad and shit when I share this kind of stuff. But, I cannot live in conflict with the truth that's revealed to me. You know what I mean? It's like I've seen the death and degradation, the disease it causes. And I've seen my wife smoke. She smoked when she was pregnant, man. I was heated, dude. Pissed. That's one of the toughest prayers I ever had to say is, God, please protect my baby from my wife because she can't do it herself. Dude, I was sick to my stomach. And then all that stuff happened, man. So it's like, and that's when I started really seeing the truth about stuff. And I seen her try to quit, and I seen my sponsee try to quit. And as soon as shit gets hard, they rely on a drug, man. It's like, for me, it's the same shit. It's the thinking behind all that stuff. It's not the actual result of it. And I don't mean that people get an uproar. We all get restored to sanity in different areas of our lives at different times. It says in our literature, so don't get all mad at me. I'm just sharing my experience with you of how I can't live in conflict with my belief systems. You know what I mean? Or it causes spiritual turmoil, man. I love this program. I live this program. Like I said, I got kicked out of high school. I went back and got my GED, but I went back to school in recovery. Dude, I was so out of my mind scared, like, because I didn't do anything probably since, like, sixth grade, you know what I mean, really, and then got kicked out in high school. So I, like, went, I was so sick, I'm like, dude, I remember, as soon as I would walk in class, I'd look at every single person, judge them, see which one was better than me, you know, and I'm like, this dude's probably better than me, he's smarter than me, I better just be quiet, I want to raise my hand for this question, but I can't, because what if I'm wrong, everyone will laugh at me, I'm 27, these kids are, like, 19, you know what I mean, I'm like, all this shit's going through my mind, and I was taught. And this is what I did. Someone told me, use your teacher like you use your sponsor. Mm. Use your books like you use your literature. And use your class like you use a meeting. Mm-hmm. And ask for help when you need it. And be of service when you're ahead. And I did that. And I graduated with honors with a 3.7, dude. First time back. Mm. I mean, this stuff. And I was scared, man. And every semester, I'd do the same thing. My wife's like, shut up. I don't even want to hear it. She's like, you got A's on everything you did. I'm like, well, this is different. I'm different this time. You know what I mean? She's like, it's the same thing, dude. Do the same thing you did before. You know what I mean? And I walked through that stuff. And I got growth on the other side of that, man. And, like, all that stuff builds self-esteem for me and self-acceptance, man. It helps me grow. I love this program. I literally am so grateful. I got clean when I was 27 and really had no other experience with how to live life. So I'm so grateful. Like, when I came in here, I really didn't have the live self-sufficiency. Everything I did was blatantly obvious that it failed. So when I surrendered, I'm like, teach me how to live life, man. I know I have, you know, it's not just a drug problem that I suffer from. Teach me how to live life. And I've learned how to live life through the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous, meetings, all the basics, my sponsor, and I try to apply that to every area of my life, man. And I'm still scared of shit. You know what I mean? Me and my wife bought a house, dude. If it wasn't for her, we didn't even bought the house and shit. Because I'm scared to make decisions like that because my disease tells me you're not going to be able to maintain it. You don't deserve it. You can't have that. That's only for, like, adult rich people and shit. My disease still tells me stuff like that. You know what I mean? So, like, I remember signing the papers for that stuff, man. And I'm, like, scared to death. Like, that impending doom shit. Well, what if I lose my job? And what if I can't pay the mortgage and we lose the house? And I'm going to be a failure, dude. All that stuff still goes through my mind. But like I said, as I practice this stuff through all these situations, I'm able to have a better awareness and understanding when I go into a next circumstance. You know what I mean? I can use my own personal experience of surrender and faith and prayer and meetings in this program to better help myself get through the next situation. Like I said, I can't take much credit for the courage part. I just keep walking forward, man. That's all I got. I'm JJ. Thanks for letting me share.